ॐ
सहनात्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। समस्तजनकल्याणी निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिता पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। सो टुडे वी विल बी बिगिनिंग चैप्टर 6। जस्ट टू ब्रीफली समराइज द फर्स्ट 5 चैप्टर्स। द फर्स्ट चैप्टर इज अर्जुनस कन्फ्यूजन। And it's not Arjuna's confusion, our confusion. Arjuna is us. We are confused about our goal in life. What is my purpose? Where am I going? And how am I to get there? And so we approach Bhagwan Sri Krishna for knowledge. Arjuna says, Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prapanna. I have surrendered to you, Bhagavan, and please teach me. So Guru or Bhagavan will only teach when we are ready to surrender. With humility, not with the idea that I already know the Bhagavad Gita, but that's why we say, Amba Tvam Anusandadhami Bhagavatite. O Bhagavatite Mother, we prostrate to you, we meditate upon you. May we reach the goal of Advaita, which you have taught us. So we start with our gratitude to Bhagwan Sri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita and Mother Gita for the knowledge. And in the second chapter, Bhagwan Sri Krishna then tells Arjuna, first of all, at the highest level, that all of us are that Atma, the Self. He says, you, me, the kings, all gathered soldiers. None of us perish. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. We were never born, we never perish. As Atma, the Self, Om, I am, all, we are all eternal. But at the level of the body, we have to do our duty and the body will perish. And so Bhagwan, after the absolute knowledge, brings us down to our level where he says, yes, this body will perish. And that is inevitable. So tasya ka paridevana, then why should we grieve about it? Because Arjuna was worried about all these people dying in the battle. And he tells Arjuna and tells us that whatever duty you have been assigned in this life, you have to do it. And we'll talk about that today also in today's discourse. So Arjuna's duty as a warrior to protect Dharma, Bhagwan reminds him of that. And for us, remind us of whatever our duty is, wherever I am, mother, father, husband, wife, son, daughter, grandparents, that is our duty, we must do it. Then the second chapter is a brief summary of the entire 18 chapters that Bhagwan is going to teach us. He summarizes in the second chapter in different verses, Karma Yoga, all those, Yajna Spirit and all those. At the end of the second chapter, Arjuna asks about the man of wisdom, Stita Prajna, because he wants to know how this man of wisdom functions in the world, because he sees how glorious this person's life is, and he wants to be like that. So these verses of this end of this second chapter are inspiration for all of us, how we should live our life wisely. After that, Bhagwan in the third chapter is a very, very beautiful, complete description of how to work. What is karma? What is karma yoga? And how we can do our duties dedicated to Bhagwan, work unselfishly for the benefit of others, without I, me, and my. And how we can purify our mind through karma yoga, working for others, that has been explained in the second chapter, third chapter. The fourth chapter, Bhagwan reveals his nature as the Supreme Self, but Bhagwan Atma, who has manifested in this human body. So we should not only think of Sri Krishna as a human, son of Devaki and beloved of the gopis. But also we should look at Bhagwan Sri Krishna as the Supreme Brahman incarnated, manifested upon this earth. And then Bhagwan in the fourth chapter talks to him about Yajna Spirit, how we can work together, sync our individual, just as when we do a big Yajna, people get together and the Yajna is maybe done for a specific purpose. Maybe I may do it for my own personal, I'm starting a new business or building a house, or I have a new child. Or we do yajna for the benefit of all, as we do in our July anniversary, when we do Sudarshan Homam for the benefit of all. So when yajna is done, it should be done with the spirit that let us all work together, sync our individual differences, and work for the betterment of society. So yajna is not only the offering in the fire, but Bhagwan says any community effort where we all get together and work for the benefit of all is a yagna. It could be working for to build an hospital or a nurse or a orphanage, or working for the benefit of the mission, the temple. Wherever we work with that attitude, we are working in yagna spirit. And Bhagwan says every activity can become a yagna. Do not think, even when you get up in the morning and eat your breakfast, Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havihi, even eating should become an offering to Bhagwan, because I say the food is the Lord, the one who prepared the food is the Lord, the one who grew the food is also Bhagwan, the one eating me is Bhagwan, the one nourished within is Bhagwan. And the goal of eating is so that I may have energy to do my spiritual sadhana and reach Brahman. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam. And every activity, reading, studying, anything that I do in this life, I can make it a yagna, make it an offering to Bhagwan. So constantly remembering God and seeing him in all activities and everything that we are doing, see the Lord's presence. So I am not the doer. Bhagwan is working through me. With that attitude, we should do all our activities. So that is the yagna spirit. In the fifth chapter, Arjuna asks about yoga and sannyas. And Bhagwan explains that yoga, for you, karma yoga is the path for you right now, because you are on the battlefield where your duty as a kshatriya is to fight for dharma. Arjuna wanted to go to the forest and meditate for sannyas. Do your duty wherever you have been placed, and slowly, as your thinking evolves, as your duties are fulfilled to some extent, develop a detachment and connect with the self, the Lord within, and give up doership, that I am not doing it. The bhakta says, I do nothing, Bhagwan works through me. The jnani says, I am the Atma, the pure self. And in my presence, this body, mind, intellect is working. Naiva kinchit karo miti yukto manyeta tatvavit pasyan srinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gachan swapan shvasan indriyani indriyarteshu vatsanta iti dharayan. So the wise person always identifies himself with the Atma, the pure self, connects with the Lord within and says that I am not the doer. The body is functioning, but I am the Atma. So ever abidance in that understanding is the role of the fifth chapter, where Bhagwan says, you are not this body. The body is your instrument. You are an occupant of the body, but you are not the body, just as you are an occupant of the house, but you are not the house. And so that is the teaching of the fifth chapter. And once a person is abiding in that knowledge, then he is ready for the path of meditation. So today we will begin the sixth chapter, which is called Dhyana Yoga, or the path of meditation. If you are not able to see, you can turn on the light, please, in the back. So Dhyana Yoga, the path of meditation. Thank you. Now this beautiful chapter by Bhagwan has been placed right in the correct place, because Bhagavad Gita has three parts to it, what we call as Jiva Brahmaiva Ekyam, Jiva Brahma Ekyam. Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. So Jiva, the individual, is that supreme self, the Om, the Brahman, the consciousness. I'm not separate from that. So people misunderstand that, oh, Bhagavad Gita says, I am God. We never say, I am God. As God, the moment you use the word God, God is the creator, sustainer, destroyer of this entire universe. And I am an individual, I am a mortal, and I am a humble servant of God. So we never say, I am God or I am. But I am a servant of God. I work as an instrument, and God works through me. Whatever activity is going on, talking, listening, everything is Bhagwan working. But at the absolute level, at the level of Om, at the BMI level, at the body, mind, intellect level, I am Bhagwan's servant. But when I identify with Om, the Atma, the consciousness, then there is only one. There are not different Atmas, different consciousness. It's not my Atma, your Atma, my consciousness, your consciousness. At the absolute level, there is only one, which we call as Brahman. So Om and Brahman are the same. There is no difference. So that Brahman alone has become this whole universe. And so then I cannot be separate from, because I cannot say I'm separate from Brahman or I'm separate from God. You can say God. So while working, I am his humble servant, but in my understanding, I am one. And that's what we meditate upon. So the sixth chapter, Bhagwan wants to emphasize this path of meditation. And the sixth chapter has many sections, many parts. So, first of all, what is meditation? That will be covered in this chapter. Who is the meditator? What are the qualifications for a person to become a meditator, to prepare himself or herself for this path, all that is covered. Then what is the technique of meditation? Where should I meditate? How should I meditate? When should I meditate? All that has been covered in this sixth chapter. Then in meditation, there will be obstacles on my path. My mind will wander, all those things will happen, agitations, confusions. So how to handle those obstacles is also covered in the sixth chapter. What is the goal of meditation? What is the benefit of meditation is also explained. And lastly, how does a meditator function in the world? A person who has been meditating, how does that person change their attitude towards the world, towards God, and how does he function? So all that is covered in the sixth chapter completely, from who is the meditator, what is meditation, why we should meditate, how. What are the obstacles? What are the techniques and how to overcome them? And how I can change my life through meditation. So all that is explained and how to carry out my activities in this world with the background of meditation. So with this introduction, we can start the sixth chapter. ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः अथ षष्ठोऽध्यायः ध्यानयोगः श्री भगवान उवाच
श्री भगवान वाच
अनाश्रित कर्म फलम
कर्म
कार्यम कर्म करोति यः
फलम करोति यः
सन्यासी च योगी च
सन्यासी च
न निरग्निर्न चाक्रियः श्री भगवानुवाच अनाश्रितकर्मफलः ससंन्यासी च योगी च न निरग्निर्न चाक्रियः. सो इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर भगवान सेज अनाश्रित कर्म फलम. अनाश्रित आश्रित मीन्स डिपेंडिंग ऑन, अनाश्रित मीन्स नॉट डिपेंडिंग ऑन कर्म फलम, नॉट डिपेंडिंग ऑन द फ्रूट ऑफ एक्शन. कार्यम कर्म, कार्यम कर्म मीन्स ऑब्लिगेटरी ड्यूटीज, व्हाट आई एम सपोज टू डू. करोति यह, यह मीन्स हुएवर दैट पर्सन इज, यंग ओल्ड मैन वुमेन, हुएवर दैट पर्सन इज हु डज हिज ऑब्लिगेटरी ड्यूटीज विदाउट डिपेंडिंग ऑन द फ्रूट ऑफ एक्शन. सन्यासी च योगी च, ही इज अ सन्यासी, द योगी. Because our idea of sannyasi and yogi are very different. We think sannyasi is someone on orange clothes, has nothing to do with the world, wanders somewhere looking lost with a long beard and long hair. We have all these ideas. And yogi means be somebody who has great powers. So Bhagavan says, no, that is not sannyasi, that is not yogi. One who does obligatory duties without depending on result. So he is a sannyasi, not niragni. Niragni means without fire, not akriya, without activity. So sannyasi is not one who gives up fire and gives up activity and does nothing. So a lot of misconceptions we have, and Bhagwan here does not wait for Arjuna's question. He feels that these are the points that to some extent he has covered in the previous chapters but need further explanation. So anashrita, so ashraya. Ashraya is the first point we will cover. What is our ashraya? Ashraya means what is my support? What do I depend on? And we say, well, you know, what do I depend on? I depend on my house. House will keep me safe. House will keep me secure. So everybody says, I must buy a house. I must have a house. But is the house secure? No, because we have to install alarm system to secure the horse house. The house itself needs security. And then we have this elaborate alarm system with cameras, rings, and then we get false alarms, and some, you know, police comes without me. So house itself is not secured. We have to secure it. Then we say, you know what, I should buy a gun, because tomorrow if some person comes to my house, I should be ready. And especially in this country, guns are, people say, I have a right to own a gun. And everybody buys a gun, whether they need it or not. And we think gun will give me the most security. That is the most insecure. Every day we find instances of children getting gun and shooting other children accidentally, or somebody gets angry. In the olden days, he would punch him and person would get hurt. Now, what does he do? He gets a gun. Not only kills the other, but all the family members, and we see mass murders happening constantly. Now we don't even, we turn the page. Okay, shooting happened, 18 people died. Okay, what else? Previously, we used to get angry, you know, we should stop guns. And now nobody, 20, 30 people got killed. He has machine guns, AK-40. We don't even think about it. This becomes so unfortunate. It is so sad. And any effort to control guns is a failure because of the gun lobby. So gun is, and or second thing, I have the gun. Now, where should I lock it up so that it doesn't get in the hands of children? So I lock it up in a safe in some corner. And then when the time comes, I'm looking for the key. Where is my gun? You know? So gun is the most insecure, but we think gun will give us security. Or I say money, you know, my stocks, stock market will give me security. That's why stocks are called securities. But we don't know when it will go up, when it will go down, when the market will crash. So nothing, and even if it does, my money, my house, it gives me temporary security. It does not give me permanent, infinite, complete security. Then I think my friends, my relatives, or I know the congressman, I know the senator, he will give me security. Only they will give security till you pay them. Every month you do their fundraisers and go to all the work for them. They are only there for their own benefit. So if we think that any other person will help me, that is also not secure. So what is the only security? Ek, and that he says is Bhagwan. Bhagwan is the ashraya. Actually, everything I have is given by Bhagwan. My body, my mind, my ability to think, my house, my car, my children, my money, everything, the fruit, the food, everything is given by Bhagwan. And he's the one constantly supporting us. When I'm in deep sleep, who is maintaining my body? When I'm working, who is giving me the ability to walk, talk, think? So only security we have is Bhagwan, and that should be the main ashrita. You know, you alone are, and that should be the attitude. Of course, I have to do my duty, but whatever achievement I have, I express my gratitude. So every day, get up in the morning with gratitude to Bhagwan, go to bed at night, remembering the Lord. Then he says karma phala. So karma phala, people think karma phala, how can we work without, you know, they say, what does Gita say? Karma kar, phal ki chinta mat kar. Do action, do not worry about. So people think while working, you don't have to worry about what the result is. But we always do, like after this class is over, I say, I have no goal, I have no purpose. No, we have a purpose. After this class is over, I'll go have lunch, perhaps watch TV. So we always have a goal in mind. You know, when we start our career, we have a goal. I'm going to become an engineer, lawyer, doctor, accountant. And then in my profession, in my job, I have a goal. So goal is always there. You cannot work in life without goal, without a purpose. So what is the meaning of that is that while I am doing the action, I focus on the action, not on the result. Otherwise, while we are doing the action, if our focus is on the result, what am I going to get, then our action will not be efficient. So that is karma yoga. Work in the present, do what you are supposed to do, and my goal of life should be how I can serve the society. So that is the whole third chapter of karma yoga, working unselfishly without I, me, and my. Dedicating my activities to Bhagwan and working for the benefit of society. So that is karma and karma yoga. In fact, whatever I have is the result of my karmas. Whatever I say, I go to work, and I after 40 hours I get a paycheck. We say that is karma phala. That is the result of the. But not only possessions. I have to buy a house. I have to raise money. I have to earn. I have to do all that, car and so on. But even this body I have is a result of my past karmas. In my previous life, if I am a woman and I say, men, I have to be a man. The next life, you will be born as a man, or a man who is all the time thinking of women will be born as a woman in his next life. So the idea is that do not have any strong rights, likes, and dislikes, because any strong vasanas will result in your new birth. If I have a strong vasana, so they say, not that we shouldn't like food or people or things, but do not have strong desires or likes or dislikes, because that is the body we have is a result of my karma, whether I am a male or female, whether I am short or tall, handsome or not, or you know, white or black or Hispanic. All those things are a result of my past karmas. Whether I'm intelligent or not intelligent, unfortunately, we find some people with Down syndrome, mental changes. They're a result of, unfortunately, of their past karmas. Does not mean that if somebody is suffering, he said, he is suffering because of his karmas, let him suffer. No, if I can do anything to help others and make this world a better place, I must do that. That is how I purify my karmas. So karma phala and karma yoga, anashrita karma. Now, what is karyam karma? The next word, obligatory duties. What are obligatory duties? So the masters tell us obligatory duties means wherever you have been placed in life, do the duty to the best of your ability, whether I'm a mother or a father or a child or a brother, sister, grandmother, whatever my role is, where I have been placed by Bhagawan, I do the duty to the best of my ability. Not try to do somebody else's duty, like somebody has been hired as an accountant in a company. And he says, you know what? After a while, he says, yeah, I can do accounting, but this computer guy, you know, he's not doing a very good job in coding and all. I can do better. So I not only do accounting, I start interfering in the computer guy's job and tell him, do this, do that. And then the management of this department is not good. I try. So that is not, they will say, sir, look, sir, we hired you for an accountant. So do your accounting job. Do not interfere in computer manage. If you can make suggestions, that is good. So obligatory duties are whatever I have been assigned, I have to do to the best of my ability. If I am a child or if I am a mother or a father or a grandparent, whatever I have been, do it to the best of my ability and do it as service of Bhagwan. So there are worldly duties and there are absolute duties. Another is to make this world a better place, serve, and even spiritually. That is my main duty as a human being. I have been given a human birth, an intellect, a healthy body. With that, I must serve the world and make the world a better place. And then what is my absolute duty? See, these are my worldly duties. Absolute duty is I am Atma, I am Self, always abiding in that and always connecting with the Self, with Bhagwan, who is outside and within. Everywhere is that Lord. So that is my absolute duty, karyam karma. And then also when we do duties, we expect, you know, I have done so much for this person. He didn't even say thank you. You know, I went there, I worked that organization, I worked for 8 hours. And they didn't even give me a cup of tea. Are, Gurudev says, your 8 hours is worth a cup of tea. You think that's all? I go and work because that is my duty. If there is a good place to help, I go help without expecting what will I get. Because the moment you think I will get something, it becomes a business. We even go to the temple and say, Bhagwan, look, I brought some coconut. You know, some fruit and flowers, and then there's, you know, we do business, you know, these data. And then Bhagwan has given us, suppose that we want 10, we don't express gratitude, 9. We say, Bhagwan, you gave me 9, okay, what about the 10th one? When will I get that? So we think God is like an ATM, you know, I press the button and he should give. No expectation. That the other expectation we have is with our children. You know, I did so much for my child. I brought him up. I sent him to school, college. What does he do for me? We want a child to do for me, or we think he should listen to me. Yeah, when he's 5, 6, 7, he might. Nowadays, even 7, 8 year olds don't listen. But once he becomes a teenager, forget it. Starts driving. Swami Ishwarananji said he becomes a rakshas when he becomes a teenager. So I don't know if that's, but anyway, the point is that if you think he will listen to you, or once he graduates from college, I'm paying for his college. He doesn't call me. He should call me once a week. He should, you know, come to visit. No, he says, Mom, Dad, you paid for my education, thank you very much. Now I'm on my own. Another expectation, he should marry whom I want. He should marry only Indian, only of my caste, of my community, only Gujarati, only. So we have all these expectations. That is called Ashrita Falma. Do without Anashrita. Do not. I did my duty. I taught my child. I brought him to Bal Vihar. I taught him, gave him good values. And ultimately, God, child is not mine. Child is God's. Bhagwan has given me the child to take care of, to bring up. And that is my duty. That is not a favor. So that is what Anashrita Karma Phalam. Karyam Karma. Do your obligatory duty. Then he says, such a person is a sannyasi and a yogi. Sannyasi means one who has given up. And yogi means one who is on the spiritual path. But Bhagwan will explain more in the later verses. Sannyasi does not mean one who has put on orange clothes and goes just living there with long hair, long beard. And yogi does not mean one who has spiritual powers. We'll explain more in detail. But yoga in the doing my obligatory duties as a karma. Through me. And this, of course, Bhagwan will explain in the subsequent verses. So, working unselfishly and ultimately giving up the doership. One way of giving up doership is like a bhakta, where Bhagwan is doing everything. Or as a jnani, he says, I am the Atma, the self, and in my presence, this body, mind, intellect are working. So, that will be covered in subsequent verses. And na niragni na cha akriyaha. Niragni means fire. So sannyasi actually does not deal with fire. What does that mean? Fire means a household, cooking, collecting food. For householders, it is our duty. to work and cook and eat and all those. But for a person who has taken sannyas, it becomes society's responsibility to take care of that person. And that's what we do, you know, these persons who have taken, like, now Swamiji is coming from tomorrow. Today he's coming from tomorrow. He will give lectures. So these Swamijis of the Chinmaya Mission, they take sannyas, they study for 2 years, and then, of course, after that, they continue to study. But then their life becomes dedicated to the mission, to all of us. All these, whatever knowledge you and I have about spirituality, it is because of Pujya Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, all the other acharyas, Swami Tejomayananda ji, Swarupananda ji, Swami Ishwarananda ji, whom all of us have met and been with. And tomorrow we'll be listening to Swami Aparajitananda ji. So all these great Mahatmas, Swamis, Sannyasis have spent their whole life in service. Pujya Gurudev, he was working with 15% heart function. His left ventricle, only 15%. And the doctors told him, you know, you should stay in Bombay, rest, and do talks in Bombay. Don't travel. He said, if I rest, I rust. Until his last breath, he was traveling throughout the world, every week in a new country, in a new city, doing Gita, Gyan, Yajnas, and Upanishad teachings. Until his last breath, he was teaching. So we have a tremendous gratitude to these sannyasis. So it is our duty to take care of them. So we offer bhiksha, you know, when these Swamijis come to our house or to the mission. That is our way of expressing gratitude and taking care of these Mahatmas. Also, when we go to holy places, there are some sadhus who are there. And, you know, and maybe they will do pujas for us, or, you know, or some of them are giving talks in these holy places. So supporting and taking care of sannyasis and the ashrams, you know, where they have Gurudev has established this ashram. So all these ashrams that are established, it is our duty to take care of them. So that is fire. Fire also means the yajnas. See, when one fire is, of course, we do cooking in the house. Other fire is when we do rituals. You know, when you do rituals, you know, we do yajnas, like we said, for benefit of society, for benefit of others. But then some people do yajnas for a particular purpose, say, you're not having a child, you know, you might do yajna, like Dashrath Maharaj had done yajna, and he got 4 sons. And so invoking Bhagwan's grace for our success, for our home. I buy a new house, I do yajna for purification, start a new business. Or some people do yajnas to go to heaven, you know, especially in the olden days. They used to do yajna where heaven was guaranteed. If you do the yajna fully, you are guaranteed to go to heaven. So when a yajna or this fire is done for a particular goal, we just finished Mundak Upanishad, and Mundak Upanishad says that when you do for a particular goal, it could be for a child, for a house, for a business or factory, or even to go to heaven, all these yajnas will cause rebirth. See, when the moment I do something with a goal in mind, even it could be heaven, and we know heaven is also not a permanent goal, even though some people believe that, but heaven is a temporary abode. It's like Hawaii. You know, you go there, you enjoy. And then the moment your good karmas are exhausted, you come back to the earth, you continue your journey. Heaven or hell, they are all not permanent, but they are temporary abodes where the jiva, the subtle body, lives after death for a certain amount of time based on my good and bad karmas, and then I come back. So The Upanishad says that when rituals are done without any particular purpose, that what I will get, it is just as my homage to Bhagwan and for the benefit of all. So when yajna is done with that attitude, then that purifies the mind. So all these religious activities, whether I do charity, when I do charity also I say, you know, people should recognize me, I should be put as in this post and recognize. No, whatever I do it for the benefit. So if even spiritual activities, if they are done with a particular desire, that will lead to further birth, what you call transmigration. But when an activity is done unselfishly, dedicated to Bhagwan, then it does not create more karmas. In fact, it will exhaust our existing karmas. Our vasanas will be reduced, and such a person will evolve spiritually. So then it says the goal of life is actionlessness. So we say, well, what do you mean actionlessness? You mean a sannyasi does not work, you know, na niragni na cha akriya, no activity. What it means is, when an action is done without desire, that is actionlessness. Desirelessness equals actionlessness, where I'm doing not for me, myself, and I, not for my family, but I'm doing for all, doing for society. So actionlessness is desirelessness. What Bhagavan says, akriya. Akriya means does not work. It does not mean don't work, but do not work with a selfish motive. And as much as, of course, I have to maintain my body, my family, earn. We are not saying all that. But everything I do with the idea that, will this activity take me closer to Bhagwan? Will it help me grow in my spiritual sadhana, in my spiritual journey? If it does, that I do. And if it does not, I do not do that. So my goal of life is enlightenment. I am already connect with that Atma, the Self. And slowly a person who does activities for the higher, for Bhagwan, for society, without I, me, and my, develops Vairagya. So develop a healthy detachment. Detachment does not mean I don't love my family, my children, and all. But I do not love them as my possessions. You know, they are God's children. Same thing. Whatever I have, Bhagwan, you have given me, let me use it in your service. So if I have extra money, if I have extra time, if I have extra abilities, use them for service of the Lord. And develop a healthy detachment. You know, they say, vastu vyakti. So do not depend on objects, do not depend on people, or so and so person will take care of me. I only am responsible for myself, and do not depend on vastu, vyakti, or paristhiti. Paristhiti means a situation, that if I have this job, I am happy. If I don't have this job, I am unhappy. If I am living in Bakersfield, I am unhappy. If I go to the coast, I'll be happy. No. I am fine wherever I am. That is Vairagya. And do a healthy detachment from the world. And we'll talk about detachment more in the next verse. The other important point I wanted to cover today, I may not be able to do more than one shloka, because this first shloka is very, very important. And also I tried to summarize the five chapters. So we may only do one shloka today, because the first shloka is full of very, very heavy shloka. A lot of material is there. Each word needs explanation. So the last point I would talk about is from Vivek Chudamani. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji starts with the Durlabham Trayam. He says three things are very durlabha, are very difficult to get, very We are lucky to get those. Manushyatvam, Mumukshutvam, Mahapurusha, Samshaya. So these are the three things that if you have them, you are very lucky. It is very difficult to get. First one is Manushyatvam. Means to have a healthy body, have a functioning intellect, have the right understanding. So to get a human birth is very rare. You say, what rare? There are 7 billion humans. Yes, but biologists tell us that humans are only 0.5% of all jivas. Even though we are 7 billion, we are only 0.5%. All the other 199 out of 200 are animals, birds, plants, fish, insects, viruses, bacteria. If you count all those, out of 200, one chance you have of human birth out of 200. And we are fortunate that we get this human birth. We get the healthy body. We get our abilities to think. So to get a human intellect, and you know, if, as we mentioned, some people are born with physical or mental handicaps, but we are blessed that Bhagwan has given us a human birth. So it is very rare. So Shankaracharya ji says, do not waste this opportunity. It is very rare. Next life, we don't know. People think, are is life mein toh nahin hoga. I'll think about next life. We don't know. Next life, we may be born as a buffalo. You never know. You know, mosquito, kya pata, who knows? So you take advantage of this human birth. Then the second is mumukshutva. Mumukshutva means intense desire for liberation. That now I have got this birth, Bhagwan, let me not waste it. Let me use it to liberate myself from these bondages of the world, from this cycle of birth and death. 84 lakh, 8.4 million births I went through to become a human. And again, I may go back into animal, or I may just keep taking human birth after birth. Kab tak, you know, how long is going to happen? I am done. In this life itself, I want liberation. I want does not mean I want. Oh, Bhagwan, with your grace and blessings, may I get liberated. And we have to put effort. You cannot just sit down and say, okay, God, I'm here. Now you are responsible. No, I am responsible for my actions. So I have to do my part. I have to do karma yoga, bhakti. I have karma yoga, serve the world. I have to do bhakti, regular prayers, regular meditation, japa, chanting the name of the Lord, constantly seeing the Lord in all beings, you know, loving the whole world as Harijan. It's, you know, the Hari is there in everybody. That Mahatma Gandhiji taught us. So God is there in all humans. God is there in everything, even in inanimate objects, and constantly remembering the God. God is outside and God is in me. Every cell of my God is of my body is nourished by Bhagwan. So seeing God's presence everywhere and having an intense desire for liberation. God, you please help me. So I do my karma yoga, I do bhakti, and I get the right knowledge. I study Bhagavad Gita. People say, I love Bhagwan Shri Krishna, but don't tell me to study Bhagavad Gita. Are, if you love Bhagwan Shri Krishna, you have to love his composition. So study the Bhagavad Gita, study the scriptures. That is mumukshutvam. So with the desire to get free from the cycle of birth and death. So I got manushyatvam, I have mumukshutvam. Third is mahapurush samshaya. Contact with great Mahatmas. And we are blessed, of course, Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda ji is the one who started this mission, and the Bhagavad Gita commentary we have is given by him. So reading it regularly and applying it and studying it. And we say every day you should study 2 shlokas. of Bhagavad Gita with Gurudev's commentary. Not only study them before you go to bed at night, read it a couple of times, but try to think about it the next day. So if we do two shlokas every night, in 1 year, you will have completed the Bhagavad Gita. So be grateful for the Mahatmas who come to our life. Now, Swami Aparajitananda ji will be coming from tomorrow. And he is a great teacher. His knowledge of Vedanta is phenomenal and his bhakti is unsurpassed. His love for God, you cannot duplicate. So be grateful for that. Be grateful and listen to them. So please log in and listen to Swamiji. Monday to Thursday, he will be here from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And he will be talking from Srimad Bhagavat on Pandavana Prasthanam, the final liberation of the Pandavas, how they got liberated from that. Very, very beautiful. It's Canto 1, Chapter 13 to 15. So, Mumukshutvam, Manushyatvam, Mumukshutvam, Mahapurush, Samshaya. So, I'll end here that true sannyas and true yoga is to do your activity, obligatory duties, without worrying about what will I get, but what, talk about what I can give. And that is true sannyas, that is true yoga, and that is what we need to practice. So I'll end here. Next week, then we'll try to cover three shlokas. But thank you all for your attention. So we have quite a few people on Zoom also here in the audience. If anybody would like to speak, I hope you are able to unmute. You're not able to? Okay, let me text.
Oh, I can. Okay, I'm unmuted. Good. It's done. It's done. I have one question that I think is maybe kind of, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, let me increase the volume. I don't know. He has not. Let me see. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, one question is probably pretty easy.
Can you speak
but
a little loud?
Okay, I'll try. I'll do. Yeah. You know, there's the aham brahmasmi. And I'm thinking, you know, we're told, you know, when we meditate to think of the Atman. And I'm wondering is how is that different than just thinking of Brahman? I'm thinking maybe it's kind of like the wave, you know, that's thinking, you know, I'm too small, I can't be the ocean.
He wants to talk and he only has muted him.
Yeah, okay. So your question is that I cannot be the ocean. Okay. At the body, mind, intellect level, a wave cannot say, I am the ocean. The wave says, I am a limited wave. Ocean is my creator, sustainer, and I merge back into the ocean. So as a jiva, as this human being with this body, mind, intellect, I am a created by God. I am created, sustained, and merged into God. So that is looking at God as Ishvara, as the creator, sustainer, and destroyer. But at the absolute level, at the level of Om, at the BMI level, I am God's servant. At the level of Om, there is only one absolute, and that I am. So it is, I am Brahman, or it depends on what level you are speaking, not at the level of BMI, but at the level of consciousness.
So,
so
there a
wave is not
between...
the ocean, but when the wave says, I am water, then water alone is the wave and the ocean. So the same way, human cannot say, I am God, but when you understand I am Atma, the self, consciousness, then the Brahman and I are one. There can be only one. Brahman is ekam eva advitiyam. Brahman is one without a second. So this whole universe is just an illusory appearance upon Brahman.
Thank you. I had one other thing I was just thinking about.
So did people hear her question? She sort of asked for the difference. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
When you were talking about Dharma, and I was thinking about Vivekananda when he came to the United States, in the 1800s, and how when he came here, there were no Indians other, of his compatriots that, would give him the right food and that he could talk to in the language. I mean, not to say that, Swami Chinmayananda and ISKCON and some of the others that have brought Vedanta to the United States don't serve a great purpose. But I just think about him, how he came here and he didn't even want to. I mean, somehow he listened to his guru and he came here anyway. And he had no one welcoming him. No one
Right.
talking to him, no one giving him the right food that he wanted to eat, and how hard that must have been. And yet he came here, and I was thinking about, now in the world we have.
Right. See, he had full faith.
Really hard to deal with,
Right. Right.
and that somehow those cultures need to maybe be served and brought the word of Vedanta. I don't know,
Right.
just what you think about that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. When he came, he came for the Parliament of Religions. He was sent for that. And the ship got delayed, so the person who was supposed to meet him wasn't there. And he just ended up in Chicago at the railway station, took a train, and he was just sitting there. And he said, "Now who is going to take me?" He had total faith, and it's as you know. The president of that world conference, his wife happened to be at that railway station, and she saw him, talked to him, asked him why he's here, and took him to her house. And he was late, where the parliament was almost over, and she took him. He said, "Oh, you are one of the speakers." And he was the last speaker, had limited time, but the way he spoke, the whole audience was shaken up, you know. And not only that, after that, he was invited throughout the United States. His articles came in the paper, the description. So these people, they live at a different level than you and I, you know, these enlightened masters. But, you know, we are blessed that such people are born on this earth. And they are our guiding, you know, Swami Chinmayananda, Swami Vivekananda, and all the other acharyas. Thank you. Thank you for your question. Any other questions or comments?
What do you think about, I mean, taking Vedanta, for instance, to the Muslim world? I'll just put it right out there.
To the Muslim world,
Yes.
I don't think they are ready for it. Don't think. I
So if they're
mean,
not asking for it, you don't take it to them then.
no, not take it. You take it, but it's like you know, I find a man on the street and I drag him here, come and listen to Bhagavad Gita. If he's not interested. If the knowledge is available, there are some Muslims who are Vedantins, who are Advaita thinkers. It's not that. It's not that. It's the worldwide is available on the internet, but if they are not interested, what can we do? One of my students, actually, Armando, you may know him, he used to come to the meditation class and he came. And we recently, I gave him some books and some material and I said that try to spread Bhagavad Gita in Spanish. You know, Manual of Self-Unfoldment and these books, because he moved to Ecuador and he's starting a group there and he's trying to. So, you know, we just make it available and then ultimately it depends on the people. You cannot force a person to accept Vedanta unless you have that desire. Thank
Okay,
you.
thank
Any
you.
other questions? Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Krishna. We have a couple of minutes.
Okay, anyway, Hari Om, Happy New Year to you all, and sorry I was not able to be there in presence of Anil ji and everybody there in Chinmay Mission. But anyway, see, the Muslim world, one of the things which I'll touch base on is, you know, there is a huge Swaminarayan temple in Abu Dhabi right now. So I think, you know, the religious tolerance or, you know, so I think, you know, we can consider UAE out of the seven emirates. Abu Dhabi is one of the biggest emirate, I think, you know. So Swaminarayan Temple being there and allowing, you know, they allowing that to be there and in being inclusive of all that, I think that shows that, you know, it's not like maybe the mainstream. It's all again, they're not shunning Vedanta or any religion, like Hindu religion looks like to me. So I think they're open to everything, to be inclusive society. So saying that, you know, this verse, the first chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga verse was, this is what I understood is a true sannyasi, a renunciate and yogi is one who performs duty without attachment and without seeking the rewards of action, not one who merely gives up to work. So then that's what the Krishna corrects Arjuna's misconception that renunciation is a mindset, not a lifestyle.
Yes.
So one may wear the, like how Anilji was saying, one may wear a dress of a monk, yet still be bound by desire. Another may live an active life, but act without selfishness. So I would say sannyasi is a renouncer, yogi is a disciplined practitioner. So.
Thank you. Thank you. So we'll end here. Please log in tomorrow. For Swamiji's from tomorrow to Thursday. Those who are in town must come in person because to be in the presence of these Mahatmas itself is a blessing. It's not only listening. If you are out of town, yes, you should, you know, log in. But those who are in town, try as much as possible to come because being in that presence itself is a blessing. Even if you don't hear a single word of what they have said, just sitting with them is the blessing. So take advantage. It is rare for us to get teachers like of that quality to come and visit us. So we'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 8:30. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha. सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ थैंक यू वेरी मच ऑल For attending in person and on Zoom. Hari Om. See you next Sunday. Thank you.